Well, good evening, church. I'm at my niece's, Diane Newcomb's home in Sykeston, Missouri. And so I've been down here visiting my sister, Mary Jo, and I appreciate your prayers for Mary Jo. She is fairly stable, but, you know, she's suffering with congestive heart failure. So many of you know all about those things. But glad we could do this evening. I do know that Brother Ed had a fall and is in quite a bit of pain with his back and so on. So remember to keep him in your prayers. I understand he was going to go to the doctor, so it happened a few days ago. But anyway, the Richwines are home from Wichita from taking care of his father's affairs, and they asked for continued prayers in his behalf. Now also, otherwise, I don't really have any reports of anyone that is ill at this time. We do need to continue to remember the elderly that are on our prayer list. Continue to lift them up to the Lord, and I know that many of them that are confined are really ready to get out for a while, so we hope this is going to be over soon and we don't have to continue doing this. So this evening, I guess if I was going to title my remarks anything, I would probably title the remarks as, "Who Are You Following?" And so we're going to be we're going to be in 1 Corinthians and Romans, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, that verse reads as follows: "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Now, it's generally agreed that the verse 1 of chapter 11 really should belong at the end of chapter 10. But however, that's what we're going to be talking about, is being imitators of Christ. Now, some of your Bibles are going to read, "Be you followers of me." But in the Greek language, followers is rendered imitators. And so the key to being an imitator is knowing who you're going to follow and who you're going to imitate. And of course, in our case, we are going to be imitators or followers of Christ. And so I'm reminded of the apostles when they were brought before the high priest, and they were questioned by them, and they were charged not to preach Jesus. And so their reply was, "We must obey God rather than man." So they were charged with a violation of the laws of the land at the time, and they should not have refused to answer, and they did answer. And answering the question is especially true when the charge is practicing your religion. And so the apostles took the path taught by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, where he said, "If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." And so by glorifying God, by obeying Jesus, his charge to preach the gospel, they were able to witness to some of the highest religious leaders, authorities in the Jewish leadership at the time. And so we notice that Jesus also bore the brunt of a lot of prosecution. But speaking about being imitators of Christ, if we are to follow, if we follow earthly teachers, we are to follow them only so far as they follow Jesus. If you're going to follow an earthly teacher, you need to know the doctrine that Jesus taught so you can compare it to their leading. In the preceding chapter, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul is teaching on fellowship with idolaters or idolatry. And so, but when we go down to verse 12 of chapter 10, he inserts this warning. He says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." And I'm just going to go over and read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll just read those a few verses. Let's see. Well, it seems that Hmm. the first verse says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So I guess I wrote the wrong verse down that I was going to read. But anyway, if we go on to chapter 13 of that verse, he goes on to say that there's common temptations that tempt all mankind, and any of which can lead men and women to forsake their allegiance to Jesus and leads them to sin. The Apostle Paul tells of his own struggles in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 25, and I do want to try and read that. This is a difficult verse for me to read, and it's also difficult, I think, to follow. But I'll be reading in chapter Romans chapter 7, and down at the 15th, beginning in the 15th verse. This would be out of the ESV version, which is a little easier to read. He begins with, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." So it would this basically describes the human condition that Paul is speaking about. It would be hard to conceive of the Apostle Paul falling from grace. Well, was it possible? Well, yes, I suppose it is possible, but it's not probable. Otherwise, God would be a respecter of persons. But what if the Apostle Paul had fallen from grace? Well, can you imagine the trail of destruction that would have followed? And this is why it is dangerous that we must be careful when we put our trust in people, whether they be leaders in the church, Bible class teachers, family members, or just someone who serves as a role model for you. And so these are the people that come easily to your mind. And while knowing there isn't any such thing as a perfect Christian, they're people or families that they seem to be almost faultless. These are people who seem to be very spiritual. They stand for the truth. They have seemingly perfect marriages and children. But again, we remember Romans chapter 7, verse 15. Even the Apostle Paul related that at times he was divided, that he felt strife, that he had conflict in his life, and he knew to do good and not doing it. So, and this pretty much describes the human condition. But we need to be reminded that a day may come when one of your role models or one of your leaders will disappoint you or fall from grace. And when that happens, our reaction to that is important to consider. It may be that a teacher begins teaching something that's false due to maybe he did a restudy of the scripture or the issue, or he gets swept up in some dangerous movement. And, you know, I have noticed in my lifetime, I've experienced the falling away of people who were role models, people who were leaders in the church. And you probably can also recall these instances. And I have some specific people in mind, and perhaps you do too. And some of them have been very recent. So, you know, it may have been an affair. It may have been other sexual sin. But in the blink of an eye, his or her name is no longer going to be associated with integrity. It's going to be associated with scandal. His or her marriage may be destroyed. And I've seen this in my lifetime, and unfortunately, it's not an uncommon occurrence. Now, there are various examples of this in the Bible, and one prominent one is 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, where we're dealing with sexual immorality. When we think about these things, we think, well, can something like this be overcome? Well, yes, it can. It's called repentance. And so, in a word, that would be how it is overcome. If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 6 or 7, forgiveness and comfort is recommended for one who repents. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 also sets the tone for the repentant relationship, which in some cases is not going to be easy to accept, especially if it's left a trail of destruction in relationships that had been formed. Ephesians 4 and 29 reads, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." So that tells us as Christians we do need to be forgiving people, especially when someone has to repent of some sin that has destroyed a life or affected you. And that's a hard thing to do sometimes. And even when we're not dealing with our own emotions, when that perfect role model fails or that leader fails, it's just destructive to the church and destructive to everyone that is involved. But have you noticed that there are some crimes, murder for instance, that seem to be easier to forgive than, say, a sin of sexual immorality? Or is that just me? I know that we've had several recent examples in the news where professed Christians have forgiven men who's murdered a family member. Now, I don't watch much television, but I can remember two recent cases this year, one of them very recently. But when a prominent member of the church falls away, it's usually a result of pride or arrogance. So, out of all the people you admire in the church, one might fall away. It's not a matter of if. It could be a matter of when. And you remember the Apostle Paul said that even Demas had forsaken him. And so, when that does happen, is it going to shake your faith? Are you going to be ready for that day when that happens? So how do we prepare for that day? Well, maybe there's some things that will be helpful for us. The first thing we have to remember is not to put our faith in people. Instead, we need to put it in the truth of God's Word. Whether it's your teacher, your confidant, your relative, they didn't sanctify you. God did. And He accomplished your sanctification through His Word. If we go to John chapter 17 and verse 17, it reads this way, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your Word is truth." So the thing we need to know is what is the truth. And there's only really one way for you to arrive at that. When we speak of sanctification, we're talking about being to make pure or to cleanse from sin or to set apart from some type of holy service to God. Your sanctification might be looked at as a progressive thing. It's becoming more like God and less like the world. And for that reason, sanctification of the heart, when we look at it as a progressive thing, we must always remember that the only person who will not disappoint you is Jesus the Christ. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8 reads, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." And we need to realize that everyone is tempted to change. Every other spiritual role model is just a fallible person. So in the preceding verses of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 reads, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." So when it says remember your leaders, that can be taken a couple ways. First, remember those leaders as role models, etc., that have lived a faithful life all their life. Second, remember to pray for your leaders as that they may remain true to God's word. And in leading or in being a role model, I'm reminded that the Apostle Paul asked frequently for the prayers of the church, just as he wrote that he prayed for the church and he also prayed for individual Christians. And so every spiritual role model is just a fallible human being that needs the saving blood of Jesus Christ. They also need the prayers of the saints. So the message is to trust in God. Don't build your house of faith on the faith of someone else, no matter how strong you think they are. The next point is, don't ever stop examining the scriptures to see if someone is correctly teaching the gospel. If we go to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, it reads, "These Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." And that's the way the ESV reads. So here we have a comparison of the said to be Jews in two places, in the city of Thessalonica and the city of Berea. And I really don't have it settled in my mind whether that these were Jews or Jewish Christians, but more about that later. Now, the New King James Version renders noble as more fair-minded, and that's used in the place of noble. So the literal definition of noble constitutes something such as by birth or by ancestry, but that's not what this means in this particular place. Here, more noble refers to a quality of the mind and the heart. They were more disposed to look into the teaching of Paul and Silas. They were more disposed to look into the truth of the doctrine presented, as opposed to just accepting it without inquiring and examining it or just as to its truthfulness. Being more noble receiving the word means they listened attentively and respectfully to the teachings, and they did not just reject it out of hand, nor did they see it as not being worth examining. So I'm sure the Apostle Paul didn't know that, could not have known that the Bereans became a role model of how to study the Bible. First, they approached the teaching with open-mindedness. Second, they were objective in evaluating his message. And third, they judged the message by the standard of Scripture rather than any preconceived prejudices. And fourth, they received the message with eagerness. That is, they had an appetite to learn. And fifth, they evaluated through daily Bible study to see for themselves if what was being taught was true. And so this is a good lesson for us. And so if we go to John chapter 5 and verse 39, it reads, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So the apostles were speaking of the Old Testament scriptures, that the teaching of the coming Messiah, they were searching it to see if it was according or in accordance with the Jewish scriptures. And so this is what the Bereans did daily, and, you know, not just on the Sabbath or not just when they were in the synagogue. And so that's good advice for us today, to search the scriptures daily. Bible study. This is important. If we're going to arrive at the truth, we should devote time daily. If we expect to grow in the knowledge of the truth, we have to put effort into it. If we allow another person to determine for us what is truth, we're letting our guard down, because they're still human. They're still capable of error. We go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. It admonishes each and every believer to prove all things. And which is the short definition of that, is to carefully examine everything that is submitted to you to believe, to test it, to see if you can embrace it if it's true, and you can reject it if it's false. It, you know, don't give any man the power over you, over your salvation. Both Jesus and the apostles warned that there would be wolves among the sheep, whether to lead you away from the Lord, whether they were doing it purposely or just erroneously or through ignorance. So any spiritual role model is only true to the degree that they accurately teach the scriptures and obey them. I mean, you can teach them, but you have to have the example with it. You have to obey this, obey the teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 11. The Apostle Paul rightly observed that knowledge puffs up. And you've probably seen this in your lifetime. It is a true statement. But knowledge of the scripture is a tool to help us better obey and love God. It provides the means to learn to love and serve God more effectively, keep us from sin, If we go to Psalms 119 and verse 11, it's written, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So that's telling us a couple things. It's telling us that God's word can keep us from sin. It's also telling us that we need to know the word of God and appreciate it and study it. But again, our knowledge of the truth is only as good as our willingness to obey it. The next point is that sin must never be underestimated. Every role model that ever failed never expected it to end that way. Men and women deceive themselves if they think they are too strong to fall. And so many events in the Bible remind us of this, and there's no such thing as a little sin. Sin to God is sin. You know, maybe Eve just took a little bite out of that apple, but sin is sin. It doesn't matter how great the sin is. So as we become more aware of God's will, we become increasingly aware of the sin around us. And sin is deadly, not only to those that are weak, but also to those that are strong. Even a strong leader, a respected role model, can fall prey to sin. It's dangerous to think that we can ever become immune to sin, so we must never let our guard down. One thing we need to remember about a fallen leader or role model who is repentance is the need for grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 is the place to start with the repentant sinner. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That's a very important statement. God forgave you when you repented. But repenting and overcoming will never be an easy thing for a fallen role model or anyone else. Anyone can be a casualty. And so when we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, to study, to show yourself approved, and we need to put that into practice daily because it is a guard to our faith and to our obedience. So the whole verse of in 2 Timothy, verse 2 reads, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And, you know, I still like the old King James version of that where it's where it reads, "Study to show thyself approved." But this verse tells us that we need to make an effort to pursue a manner of life that God will approve of. And we can only do that by a careful study of the scripture. And this is so that you are not going to be led astray by every wind of doctrine that we read about in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. And so we can recognize when you're being deceived or someone's teaching something through ignorance or seeking something that is false about the Word of God. So rightly dividing in 2 Timothy 2:15 can simply be summed up as knowing the Scripture. If you know the Scripture, you have no reason to be ashamed. And your world is not going to be shaken when a role model fails or falls away. And we do know that Jesus is not going to ever fail us. So we need to know who to imitate, and we need to imitate Jesus. And so ask yourself the question, who am I following? Am I following Jesus? Am I following another person? Or am I just wandering around? And there's a lot of wandering around going on today. But I hope these remarks bring to your mind some of the things that you have studied in Scripture. And would be a pause for you to think about, because you know we had a person on our prayer list, a very respected person in the brotherhood that fell from grace, and that just shows us that it could happen very easily. And if it can happen to someone who has spent their life preaching and teaching, very easily happened to us. So think about the words tonight, and that'll be the end of my remarks this evening. So we'll close with a prayer. Holy Father, as we come to the end of another day, We pray that you are pleased with our walk before you today, and we pray that we've honored Jesus and remain humble and appreciative of him. We know that we are undeserving of your love and kindness, but we are thankful you sent Jesus to sacrifice his life that we might have a way to be acceptable to you. Help us the rest of this week to walk in integrity. Keep us on the narrow path. Help us to remain steadfast and faithful. We thank you for Jesus, and in his name we pray. Amen. And good night.